Welcome to the audiobook, Mind Under Par, as read by the author, Dr. David F. Wright. Dr. Wright is a PGA Tour instructor, a member of the Professional Golfers Association of America, and a full-time teaching professional at Pelican Hill Golf Club and Resort in Newport Coast, California. He holds two doctorates, both in psychology. His specialties are psychophysiology and learning. Additionally, Dr. Wright has been a member of the clinical faculty of the University of Southern California School of Medicine for 23 years, and he is a research and development consultant to Callaway Golf in Carlsbad, California. Dr. Wright was elected by his peers as the 1996 Teacher of the Year for the Southern California PGA Metro Chapter. The first section of this audiobook is an introduction by three tour players Dr. Wright works with. Let's begin with Patrick Burke, a PGA Tour player.
I began working with Dr. Wright in April of 1991. My career was going nowhere, and I was completely stressed out. I was as close to wanting to quit the game as one could get. I played the PGA Tour the year prior and had a horrible year. I then proceeded to miss requalifying for the tour by bogeying the last hole to miss by one shot. Beginning the 91 season on the Hogan, which is now the Nike Tour, let's just say I wasn't very confident. I had spent 3 years on a merry-go-round of swing experts in an effort to find the perfect swing. My obsession with mechanics had basically left me paralyzed on the golf course. I'd searched for a sports psychologist for quite some time. I read articles, books, even listened to a few of the well-known guys speak. Nothing I read or heard seemed to register, so I just kept digging deeper into the mechanics of my swing. Luckily for me, a good friend of mine had a son who at the time was playing competitive golf. He had just begun working with David, and I had heard a lot of good things from them about David. I sat and watched one of the lessons on the range and had the opportunity to meet and talk with David for a while. It was one of the most fortunate things that ever happened to me. It didn't take me long to realize that things just clicked with David. Like I mentioned before, I had researched many of the well-known people in the field, but everything I read or heard seemed more confusing. Talking with David was very easy, and our first lesson was even better than I hoped for. We went to the driving range for our first lesson. David was there with his clipboard and drills, and I was there with about 5 in-swing thoughts and a lifetime's worth of negativity. David took me through a drill which consisted of hitting about 6 groups of 10 balls and rating them on 1 to 10 scale, 10 being best. After each group of 10, we added another step in a pre-shot routine and also added more focus of visualizing the shot I was hitting. The end result was in my last 10 balls, I hit a series of 9s and 10s, with an additional 5 to 6 yards increase in distance with a 7-iron. The first 10 balls I hit weren't too bad, but I had 3 or 4 mechanical thoughts in each swing. I was completely focused on my swing, not the results. By the time I hit the last 10 balls, all I was doing was picturing the shot I wanted to play and visualizing that shot through the swing. The results were incredible. David asked what swing thoughts I had on the last 10 shots. I just stood there with a blank stare on my face and the realization that I'd just begun the process of relearning how to play golf instead of making golf swings. Since that first day, my game has continued to improve. We expanded on drills, pre-swing, in-swing, and post-swing routines, and worked both on and off the golf course. I won 2 tournaments in Australia and re-qualified for the PGA Tour in 1994. David has been a major reason for this success. You're probably asking yourself, what does this have to do with Mind Under Par? Well, back when I first started working with David, the first thing he did was give me a draft of the book to read. We've been working together for quite some time now, and I still use an updated draft as references to keep me on track. It's not just a book of interesting content, it's a book you can use as a how-to reference for years to come. Most game improvement books seem to cover the same tired material over and over. Mind Under Par is different. The book instructs the golfer on how to go about getting his or her mind working for instead of against him or her. More importantly, David explains why your thinking takes the path it does and how you can redirect your thoughts down the correct channel. As I already noted, when I met David, I was completely stressed out and lost both on and off the golf course. I was ready to quit, had no confidence, and had an anxiety level high enough to make me sick. A very large portion of the time I had with David in the early part of our relationship was spent on dealing with these issues. Once again, what does this have to do with Mind Under Par? I believe that the most important thing I've learned during these years with David is that in order to change your mental approach to the game of golf, you're going to have to make changes in your mental approach to each day of life. Mind Under Par addresses these issues and not only explains why you may need to work on these changes, but how to set out making these changes. Mind Under Par provides the reader with a very effective, and believe me, tested, complete mental approach to life both on and off the golf course. David's unique golf, clinical, teaching, and competitive athletics background is the backbone to this book. I know of no one in the sports, golf psychology field with this complete and qualified background. The heart of the book, however, is David's genuine care for his students. I've never worked with or seen a teacher who so thoroughly enjoys his students' successes. Anyone who has had the pleasure of working personally with David has probably gotten an update on one or more of his pupils. This does not come up because he is taking responsibility for any successes, though he probably was responsible, but because he is truly excited for them. I honestly feel that this is what makes David a great teacher and writer. Any success I've had or will have in the future is due largely to the help I've received from him over the years. He has helped me become a much improved golfer, but more importantly, has helped me become a much better person. I cannot begin to tell you how much he has helped me, but I can tell you how proud I am to have him for a friend. If you read and practice the teachings of Mind Under Par, you too will soon be reaching your full potential on and off the golf course.
The next introduction is by Dennis Paulson, a PGA and Nike Tour player.
When David asked me to write a little something about the Mind Under Par series book and how it helped me, I told him he better be careful what he asked for, because he just might have to start another book. To tell you how much he has helped me over the past 2 years and so for your words is an injustice to David. I have been a pro for about 7 years, and I had been successful at the mini tour level, but just hadn't made it on the PGA Tour. My instructor of about 4 years, Kit Puterbaugh, heard about David through the grapevine and asked me if I should see someone about the mental side of the game. I was playing horrible, had a bad attitude, and was about to give up golf entirely before I met David. I was so wrapped up in the mechanics of the golf swing, I couldn't just play golf. All I wanted to do was make a perfect golf swing when all I really needed to do was hit a solid golf shot. Two entirely different processes to get the same result. Many who have come to know me and my golf ability over the years have said I should be on the PGA Tour. You've got the talent if you only had a brain. David has helped me fine-tune my golf mind. When David and I first met, we discussed the successes I've experienced in golf and the way I performed in those situations. The very first time David and I went out to the driving range, the results were amazing. David got me to forget about the swing, and I got back to picturing the shot I wanted to hit. You will never be able to hit the shot you want if you don't picture it first in your mind. Many of my poor shots were off the tee and from the middle of the fairway, but from the trees and the tough spots around the greens, I would almost always hit a good shot. The main problem he found was that from the tee and from the fairway, it was like being on the practice tee. When I practiced, all I ever thought about was mechanics and putting the club in perfect positions to hit the shots. But when I was in the trees and around the greens, I had to be creative and see the shot I wanted to play. From the difficult places, I would create and not force the swing. David taught me to focus on target and not the swing. From here is where David and I started, and now, 2+ years later, we have come a long way. I was just about to give up the game entirely just before I met him, and now I'm completing my rookie year on the PGA Tour with success. Believe me, there is so much more to the game of golf than just having the perfect swing to hit golf shots. I'll take good mental preparation over a good swing any day. They said Jack Nicklaus and Ben Hogan were the greatest minds to ever play the game. This is what Tom Weisskopf said once of Jack Nicklaus on the 16th tee in the final round of the 1986 Masters. Vern Lundquist asked Weisskopf, "What is Jack thinking right now?" And Tom came back with, "If I knew what Jack was thinking, I might have won this tournament a couple of times." There isn't a player I know that wouldn't die to have Tom Weisskopf's golf swing. And look at the respect Tom had for Jack's mental approach. Weisskopf knew what beat him. It wasn't Jack's ability to hit the golf ball. It was his ability to get the ball in the hole. More importantly than hitting the good shots is how you deal with them once you've hit them. What good is a perfectly struck 5-iron to within 4 feet if you don't convert the putt? Or to play the best round of golf in your life to finish double, double, double? Most of these things happen because you aren't thinking properly on the golf course. Every great player who plays this game has a great mental approach. Almost every great shot you have ever seen or hit has been good mental preparation before the shot was executed. Likewise, many of the famous chokes you have seen or even committed yourself were caused by poor mental preparation. Once David got me back on track hitting the shots, I started messing up some great rounds with poor finishes. In one tournament, I opened with a 31 on the front nine and birdied 4 of the next 5 holes on the back, only to finish bogey triple to finish with a 67. David and I talked about what I had done that night after the round. He asked me what was going through my mind, I explained to him that I got ahead of myself by figuring out how many under par I was and how I'd do if I could par this hole and birdie the easy par five instead of just picking a target and hitting a good shot, period. That's all you can do. One shot at a time is such a cliche, but it is the biggest truth in golf. Believe me, in the same tournament, 2 days later, I started off bad, but birdied five of my last seven holes to lose by a shot. All I was thinking all day was hit a good shot right here. I wish I would have done that in the first round. I took this theory to the extreme earlier this year. In the Freeport MacMoran Classic, I shot a second round 10 under par 62 to lead the tournament after 36 holes. When I was in the press room after the round to describe my round, all I could tell them were the scores I made on the specific holes. I honestly could not tell them I birdied this hole to go to so many under because I never thought about it once the entire round. I'll bet the best rounds you've ever had were when you didn't realize where you stood. The most common story I hear from amateurs is that they are playing a little money game with their buddy and all they realize is where they stand in the match, one up, one down, or even, and they're on 18. On the way to the tee, all they're thinking is, okay, let's birdie this hole and beat this guy. And then you're reminded by your playing partner that if you par this last hole, you'll break 80 for the first time. What happens? You double the last hole. End of story. Why? Because you lost your focus. You were thinking about your score all the way down the fairway instead of what was at hand. Just pick a target and make a good swing. Remember, good swings usually produce good golf shots. The things you're about to learn in this book won't give you a great golf swing, but it will teach you the most important thing there is to learn in golf, and that is to score. Remember, the second biggest cliche in golf is there's no room on the scorecard for pictures. An ugly par beats a solid bogey every damn time. You're not playing this game to win a beauty contest. You play this game for the enjoyment and the competition. There is no better joy or self-satisfaction than reaching another plateau. Apply the things David is giving you and you will become a better player, even with the same old swing. If it wasn't for David, I doubt I'd be playing golf competitively, much less playing on the PGA Tour. I owe an incredible amount to this man, and you will too if you use this book to enjoy the game. No matter how hard you try, you will never be able to make great strides in this game if you aren't having fun and learning not only from your successes, but also from your mistakes. You'll never be able to hit this shot if you're still thinking about the last one you just screwed up. Apply the methods David gives you. You won't regret it. I sure haven't.
The last introduction is by Marta Figueres-Doty, an LPGA Tour player.
I met Dr. David Wright through my dear friend Anne-Marie Pally. He was working with Anne-Marie on the range at one of our LPGA events. He looked extremely serious to me. Anne-Marie had always spoken very highly of David, yet my personal experience with sports psychologists had not been very positive nor productive. So I didn't think much of this serious guy. I moved to San Diego and David lived just an hour north of me. I began spending time working with David. We started exchanging more and more ideas and experiences about golf and life. I was telling him how I wanted to have children in the near future. The next time he came down to play, he stayed over for dinner and brought me a very peculiar, to say the least, present. I thought to myself, this guy is cool. He is really cool. Between that time and today, I went through what I thought was the worst time of my life. Thoughts of quitting golf were very much in my mind. The best thing I did was to go back to see David. I wanted to work not only on my career, but also on my emotional state to gain peace of mind. We spent a long time together working hard. David set up a structured practice program for me. He helped me set specific goals. We reviewed all the content of this book, Mind Under Par. 3 days later, I flew to Hawaii and won my first LPGA tournament in 11 years on tour. Mind Under Par was constantly in my mind. David's words were with me during the whole week, keeping me calm and focused during the most difficult moments on the golf course. His ideas and strategies and his practice programs helped me improve my mind faster than I ever imagined. Mind Under Par has given me the awareness of knowing how good I can be when I put all these thoughts together. To top it off, I won again with PGA Tour player Brad Bryant in the December 1994 JCPenney Mixed Team event. You will find this book invaluable. As you will see, David's knowledge applies broadly to life and golf in Mind Under Par. As he says, if you're going to change the way you think and behave on the golf course, you must change the way you think and behave off the golf course. This is not a book you will want to read casually. You will find yourself making notes in the margin and studying and referring back to the mental skills you will learn. Apply what you read and you will reap benefits both on and off the golf course.
This is the end of Side A. Please fast forward to the end and turn the cassette over for Side B. Now, let's go to Chapter 1 of Mind Under Par with Dr. David Wright.
Chapter 1, Your Personal Best. Did you know, when Sam Snead played for the first time in a major match in 1936, he said he was shaking so much on the first tee, he had to use both hands to tee up the ball. When he stood up, the ball was a total blur. Byron Nelson taught Tom Watson to slow down his tempo by slowing down his movement in his routine. PGA Tour player Vijay Singh never had any formal instruction. He learned to play golf by watching Tom Weisskopf swing. Gary Player did everything with a feeling of slow motion from dining to grooming the week he won the U.S. Open in 1965. Teaching great, Harvey Penick said, "If you can wash your mind clean each time while walking to your next shot, you have the makings of a champion." Jack Nicklaus said, "Correct thinking plus a measure of self-control will not only tame tension, but actually make it work for you." Gary Player says, "The difference between an ordinary player and a champion is the way they think." After winning the 1993 PGA Western Open, Nick Price said, "My concentration was unbelievable this week. For the 10 seconds leading into every shot, all I focused on was target." Greg Norman says everybody likes to hear compliments when they hit good shots, but unless you play golf with your mother, you don't hear it very often, so you have to learn to talk to yourself positively. Johnny Miller says, "Everyone has his own choking level. As you get more experience, your choking level rises." Bobby Jones said, "The secret to every golf shot he ever hit was a focus on the outcome of that shot, to the exclusion of everything else." Early in their careers, Bobby Jones, Henry Cotton, and Nancy Lopez suffered from such severe bouts of nervousness, they all had problems prior to a tournament with nausea and vomiting. Johnny Miller said, "If you have an ugly swing and hit good-looking shots, you can win major championships if you trust the rest of your game and work on the mental side. The swing is just part of playing golf." Meg Mallon says, "When I'm playing my best, I know I'm focusing right down to the leaf on the tree I'm aiming at." Chichi Rodriguez said, "Putting is a state of mind. I have confidence that I can make the putts. I putted okay in the early 70s. Then somebody gave me $50 to write an article on how I putt. When I tried to break it down, I couldn't figure it out, and I didn't putt worth anything for a long time. Fred Couples never hits a shot without thinking of that same shot he has hit well at some time in the past. And Tom Watson said, "I know when I am playing my best, I'm not thinking of very many things. Maybe not even a swing thought, just whatever the shot requires." Jack Nicklaus said, "If I could get inside the heads of most of the amateurs I've played with in pro-ams, I'm certain the pictures I'd see would be mostly about club swing and ball striking. That's about as bad a mental mistake as you can make." Johnny Miller said the following regarding advice to accomplished golfers. "Use your own darn swing and tell everybody else to shove it. Tell them to keep their swing thoughts to themselves." Seve Ballesteros says he paints positive pictures of smooth swings and successful results in my mind's eye. Sam Snead says you should think back on your good shots and try to repeat them. PGA Tour player Mark Wiebe says, "The guys who are champions are guys who are really good at clearing their minds and just playing the shots." Jack Nicklaus and Ben Hogan expected to hit only a handful of shots around, exactly as planned. Walter Hagen expected to hit 7 bad shots around. And finally, Gary Player says, "There's absolutely no question that golf is a game of mind over matter. During every major championship I've won, I concentrated so hard that I played rounds without knowing my score. I've often been in a don't know who I am sort of daze, total relaxation, and complete control." In my opinion, the greatest golf psychologists are the tour players who have intuitively developed mental strategies and applied them during play. There's no theory, just application. Many of these players have been very articulate in describing their mental skills. Throughout this book, you will find quotes from the world's top golfers over the past 90 years regarding their mental and physical behaviors during peak and poor performances. You can learn from their experiences in the same way they learned from their peers their first few years on tour. I have provided explanations for their descriptions and strategies, which you can begin to incorporate both on and off the golf course. First, let's look at your personal best. Your personal best. Let's start with a discussion of what your best on-course performance felt like and build from there. Now, first, I want you to consider the best round of golf you ever shot and answer each of the following questions with a yes or no. Did it require effort? Did you think about swing mechanics? Were you worried about what others were thinking during your round? Were you thinking about your score during and between shots? Did you feel tense and nervous? Did you lack confidence? Did most shots feel guided or steered? Did you have intrusive in-swing thoughts? And did you change your pre-swing routine every few shots? Now, think about the worst round of golf you ever shot and ask yourself these same questions. Once again, please answer these questions with a yes or a no. Did it require effort? Did you think about swing mechanics? Were you worried about what others were thinking during your round? Were you thinking about your score during and between shots? Did you feel tense and nervous? Did you lack confidence? Did most shots feel guided or steered? Did you have intrusive in-swing thoughts? Did you change your pre-swing routine every few shots? It is likely that you answered no to most of the questions about your best round of golf, and conversely, you likely answered yes to most questions regarding your worst round of golf. The best rounds of golf are described by tour players and amateurs alike as consisting of 6 basic characteristics. Number 1, a set routine is followed. The routine is repeated in the same sequence on each shot. Pre-swing, in-swing, and post-swing routines are the same on each green, each tee box, each fairway, and for each trouble shot. Every top athlete, regardless of sport, follows a set pre-performance routine. PGA Tour player Greg Norman has positive, supportive conversations with himself before and after shots as part of his mental pre-swing and post-swing routines. LPGA Tour player Meg Mellon says she follows the same pre-swing routine whether she is hitting a shot on the range or during a tournament. Number two, these players say they feel relaxed and their swings feel effortless. The swing feels fluid and relaxed. Movement around the course is relaxed. Some players report a feeling of moving at a slower than normal pace, while others purposely slow their pace. Senior PGA Tour player Ray Floyd says, when he is playing his best, he feels as if he is moving at half speed. Current and past PGA Tour players, Davis Love, Gary Player, Johnny Miller, Byron Nelson, and Tom Watson, all describe periods of purposely quieting their movement to calm their nerves. 1995 British Open champion John Daly described slowing down his movement during his opening round 64. Number three, they have a concentration focus only on the shot they are playing. Thoughts are focused 100% in the present and everything feels completely automatic. Each shot is played without consideration of anything but the present. Shots are played one at a time. The judgment of others, the last shot, their score, or off-course concerns never enter the mind. Jack Nicklaus describes a systematic process of going from a very broad to a very narrow focus until he hits his shot. Then he returns to a broad focus. Byron Nelson describes concentration as standard equipment with all champions. Similarly, Gary Player said, during every major championship I've won, I've concentrated so hard that I played rounds without knowing my score. Player goes on to say, concentration takes years of practice to acquire. It's difficult to come by and easy to lose if you let up. Number four, great players are non-mechanical. There are no thoughts about swing mechanics during play. Many players slide from greatness and attribute their performance demise to becoming too mechanical. These players include Greg Norman, David Frost, Hal Sutton, Bob Tway, and Sandy Lyle. Greg Norman, David Frost, and Bob Tway resumed their previous swing styles and made major comebacks. Other great players escaped the plunge by catching the mechanics' focus before they slid too far. These players include Lee Trevino and Jack Nicklaus. The insights of each of these players and their mechanic struggles are discussed in the following chapters. And then there is PGA Tour player Bruce Litsky. He is a player who takes long summer breaks from the tour to be with his family and to coach Little League Baseball. Reportedly, Litsky seldom picks up a club to work on his mechanics. He always has, and likely always will, hit a big cut. His mechanics just don't change, and why should they? He has had great success with what he has, playing a limited schedule with limited practice. An amusing story is told by one of his former caddies who didn't believe that Litsky didn't practice during his winter layoff. So, he put a banana into Litsky's driver head cover. Months later, when he took out his clubs for a tournament, driver and banana were still together. Bruce Litsky has the ability to compete and win. He won the May 1992 PGA Tour Colonial, playing the last 42 holes without a bogey through the weekend and without having touched a club for a month prior. He had won the same tournament in 1980. His plans after his win? Take another month off. Again, in 1994, Litsky won the Las Vegas Invitational, returning to the tour following an extended period off. Nicklaus described his early years after turning professional and working on his golf swing. He said he grew up in an era of Ben Hogan, and everything he saw, read, and heard indicated that Hogan had reached mechanical perfection. Nicklaus noted that he felt that all he needed was time to work to develop this perfection. Nicklaus commented on his perceptions of those early years. No matter how much work I did, one week I would have it, and the next I couldn't hit my hat. This is still true today. I am a far better golfer than when I started out on the tour 12 years ago, and this was written in 1974. And I feel that I have improved to some degree each year. But that is more the result of maturity and competitive experience than of improvement in the mechanics of my game. Number five, great players have confidence in every shot they play. If they don't have confidence in a shot, they don't play it. There's never a doubt before or during a shot about the ability to execute it. They focus on the success of each shot as they play. Their internal dialogue with themselves is positive. They are great coaches for themselves. Great players like Sam Snead, Greg Norman, Johnny Miller, Gary Player, and Jay Siegel describe the importance of focusing on your success rather than your failures if you're going to build confidence. In the following chapters, they each describe how they talk to themselves after a shot. Number 6. Top players describe visualization as part of their pre-swing routine. Many of the top tour players describe seeing ball flight, their swing, the ball landing on a specific target, a similar shot they have hit well before, or any combination of these visual images. Most amateurs do not. Visualization is like every other mental strategy. It takes practice. During an interview at the 1993 Hawaiian Open, PGA Tour player Paul Azinger says he started to play well when he began to visualize. Senior Tour player Dave Hill has won 10 regular tour events, 3 senior tour events, a Vardon Trophy, and played on 3 Ryder Cup teams. He says of visualization, imagination is very important in shot making. If you can't picture it, you can't do it. The most written and talked about visualization strategy is that of Jack Nicklaus. A variety of imagery strategies and player quotes are presented in the chapter titled Visualization, Pictures Equal Performance. I have repeatedly heard how the top players watch the methods of other top players. Gary Player, Bobby Jones, Henry Cotton, Tom Watson, Tom Weisskopf, and Nancy Lopez are a few of many who acknowledge this as a strategy of their early days on tour. Each says they observed top players, modeled their behavior, and improved. Tom Watson describes how he watched Nicklaus during his early days on tour. I learned more playing with him than I did watching him hit balls. I really didn't try to copy his swing, but I learned the way he played shots. Johnny Miller advocates finding a pro model you like and imitating his swing. I refer to this as banking or storing the memory of a swing in your nervous system. Johnny Miller says he used images of different pros depending on whether he wanted to fade, draw, or hit a straight shot. Similarly, PGA Tour player Vijay Singh watched Tom Weisskopf's swing on television as a child and modeled what he saw. His father taught him the basics. He had no formal instruction other than watching Weisskopf's swing. Interestingly, Tom Weisskopf says he learned by watching Sam Snead and Tommy Bolt. He also noted that he learned by watching and competing with Jack Nicklaus. So, what can you do to increase consistent, effortless, focused, one-shot-at-a-time confident play on the course? First, it requires an understanding of the 6 major characteristics of peak performance periods. Second, you must begin to practice the strategies presented in this book, both on and off the golf course. These strategies include the following: developing a consistent, repeating routine, controlling your nervous system, being non-mechanical with your swing, restructuring and focusing your thinking and behavior to the present, building confidence through positive internal dialogue, and finally, recalling images and feelings of past success and creating positive images for future success. Practice these strategies, you will have more frequent periods of peak performance both on the course and in your day-to-day life. Your behavior off the course dictates the way you will behave on the course. If you are going to change the way you mentally approach golf, you need to change the way you mentally approach your day-to-day life. Practicing the mental strategies off the course will provide you with well-rehearsed skills for play. This book will show you specific techniques for making changes both on the course and in your day-to-day life. As you read, please remember what one of the greatest golfers of our time, Jack Nicklaus, said about attitude during play. He said that the more he approached golf as something to have fun doing, the better he played. Let's begin with the first characteristic of on-course peak performance, a consistent repeating routine.
This is the end of this cassette. Please proceed to the next cassette.